Oh, I remember Viv talking about having to go and get the milk every day and things like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is good because it triggers all sorts of memories. Yes, my children were brought up on unpasteurised milk. We used to go and get it straight from the farm. And the cows meandered all down the road. The drivers in the valley developed a technique for avoiding all the cow pats. You'd recognise a driver from a Harry Valley by the way they were zigzagged up the road. But yes, we used to do that. And what else did we do that was different now? Mostly the milk. And of course, I had to give the children fluoride tablets because our water was out of the tank. Remember once they said, "Oh, Mum, the water smells awful." And I thought, oh. And I smelt it, like, oh, yes, I know what that smell is. I went up to the tank, and the jolly opossum, a large, bloated opossum, was floating around on top of the tank. And it had got in the small, just an ordinary pipe, just obviously couldn't get out again and had drowned. So I had to drain the tank, and that is not a job I ever enjoy, because I get a bit claustrophobic, but it means you take the tank and then there's about 6 inches of water left in the bottom, so you've got to get in physically and scoop it all out.
And then, of course, you're left with no water, I suppose.
Well, I used to do it. Well, yes, you are for a while, but I had mastered the intricacies of a water pump, so I was able to pump out of the local creek across the road. So none of us ever had any waterborne illnesses over the years. We drank water from the creek. It wouldn't now. No way.
It sounds, I mean, talking to some of the people that grew up as children too, that the things they got up to, and they came to very little harm, and yet they were out quite into it, out in the outdoors.
Well, I had a childhood like that too. My mother, during the war, my mother had a little Morris Minor and a trailer, and we'd ride in the trailer out to Foxton Beach from Palmerston North, something you'd never do these days. It would be an absolutely unheard of thing. And we'd go out, we'd have the freedom of the local area, go and play and climb trees. And I feel sad for the children now, because I've been back to Palmerston North and looked at the park, which, as I grew up, we were told that you don't go there now because there's nasty people lurking in the bushes. But as a smaller child, we've never ever out here had any fear like that. So it's good. Still, long way at last. Yeah, anyway.
And what about some of the other characters that you've known over the years that have lived in the valley?
Oh, yes. Now, Mr. James, the roadman, he was amazing. He used to walk all the road backwards and forwards. That was his job, look after the sides of the road. They better kept now then with Mr. James than they ever were. They ever are now. I can remember going out and telling a group of men who were doing something on the side of the road. And I said, "Look," I told them the story, and I said, "He kept it better than you lot with a machine." And I said to them, "If it can't be done by machine, it can't be done." And they looked at me and said, "Yeah." But he had a hat with all the bits that he'd found on the side of the road stuck on his hat, because the children thought that was marvellous. Yes, he was a character. He was about the only real character that I can recall offhand. See, if June had been here, she would probably prompted me, my memory. But then that's something for you to discover with her.
And I gather there's been quite a few practical jokers over the years too. Can you remember any favourites?
Oh, yes, I do. The man that lived up in the section next to me, it's higher than my property, and this was not long after we'd moved in, and I could hear all this cackling of hens. I knew he kept a lot of hens, and then I dreamt one night, a very vivid dream, there were eggs everywhere. And the next morning, it had rained overnight. And next morning, I came out, and literally, my dream was a fact. There were eggs all running down the steep hill behind me, down into the gutter outside the road. Whoopee, I thought, those hens are coming over the fence and laying. So it's good I found all the nests. Most of them were rotten, but they still kept on coming over and laying. So I had a constant supply of eggs, but unfortunately I told a neighbour about it. And the next thing, one day I found a notice up on the gate, eggs for sale. They'd played this practical joke on it. So I thought, what can I do to retaliate? Oh, I'm trying to think what it was now. Anyway, oh, that's right. I put a notice in the paper to say that they had kittens for sale. No, kittens to give away. And they never forgave me because they got so many phone calls and people calling to get these kittens. So I said, well, that serves you right. But then, unfortunately, after that, the man that owned the hens twigged to it and he confined the hens. So it was
the end of your eggs.
Yes, it was the end of my eggs, yes. All very childish, of course, but still, when you're young, you do those things. Any other practical jokes? I can remember riding a motorcycle down the road. Somebody came here with a motorcycle. I thought, I can ride that. So I tootled off down the road on this motorcycle, and I got to my desk, and I thought, I don't know how to stop this. I had to drive it into the bank down at my friend's place down near the gorge. And I was never allowed to forget that either. But no, I can't think of any offhand. Oh, there were. We used to have down at the crossroads, young mothers used to, several of us around here, used to get together and have a picnic down with their children by the stream. And I can remember the neighbour just next door up Rifle Range Road was a very large, very handsome woman, very large. And she came trotting down the road in a white bathing suit with a goose under each arm. I've never, ever forgotten that sight of this large, handsome woman with a goose in a white bathing suit with a goose under each arm. It was so funny. That's something you'd never see these days, really. She was quite a character and has moved to the Wairarapa now, unfortunately, because we always had a lot of fun.
And so a lot of the people that you knew when you were younger, have they moved away now? Or?
Yes, mostly. Some of them have died, most of them have moved away because I think they found that they could get such a lot of money for their property from the people wanting to come and have a lifestyle here. Still, some of them I keep in contact with, but there's only about half a dozen people that were originally here. And the farmers have gradually broken up their land. And sadly, but still, there we go. That's
so it's changed
progress.
A little from when you moved out because you came sort of, the land was cheaper out here.
Oh, yes, well, £600 for half an acre. And the house cost us £2,000 from base to roof. I mean, it was quite unprecedented. Of course, we did all the labour. I'm a good labourer's apprentice. well, builder's apprentice, should I say. Yes.
And do you still just do it yourself when you can now?
Oh, yes. I'm a real do-it-yourselfer when I can. But it was lovely getting, because we had the open terrace, which really isn't a good idea in Wellington. So I thought, right, I had some money. I thought, right, I'll get it. And I helped the builder do this too. He was an old fellow and he didn't have any help either. So we got on famously. It was good.
Were there ever times when the community would get together to build something? Or?
No, not really. The main focus was on the hall. No physical getting together and building. People do when they're asked if we need some money to raise some money for the focus is on the church, which is we're trying to get listed as a heritage and get some funds to repair it before it falls down. And it's the oldest I suppose you know, have you? It's the oldest church in the district that still has regular services. And then the hall, which people rally together and bring it and raise money for that. So that's a good community thing. But unfortunately, with the news that Meridian was going to put the wind turbines in, that caused that was the main shocking division of community. Unfortunately, it caused a huge upset, and people took sides, and it was awful. It really was. But it's calmed down now, and people have had to accept the fact that they're going ahead and having it, and you know, like it or lump it, really. That's what happened. But we're hoping that Meridian will come to the fore and help us finance some of the church restoration. So it could work out quite well, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Any other just general things that you particularly appreciate about things you've been able to do while you've lived in the valley, or things you've seen? Or
It's just a general feeling of waking up every day and thinking how fortunate I am to live here, really. There was no way as a solo, I don't want to push that too much, but there's no way I would ever have had a lifestyle like I've had if I hadn't stayed in a Harrier Valley, because I've a freehold home. I've fortunately been able to afford a car, and the children have had wonderful schooling. And they both went to Newlands College, and they were both head in the years there, and they've both gone out to university. So yeah, I feel that O'Hare Valley was the reason that this was all able to happen. If I'd been in a suburb in Auckland, I can't bear the thought. So it's interesting, the decisions you make in life, how they affect you for the rest of your life. And it's an important thing for children to know that, if they make a good decision, that their life can be a lot easier. And I think my life has been it hasn't been without its problems, but it's been pretty good in this day and age. Yes. And anyway, who needs a lot of money? Especially now, Winston Peters has given us a super gold card, which unfortunately I'm able to use very little, because without transport, no public transport here. I've got to take my car to Johnsonville, no parking to leave it there, to go on the train with my super gold card. So there are drawbacks, but we're lucky. Johnsonville's good. It's got all the amenities you need, and I enjoy going in and doing my Thursdays at the Salvation Army opportunity shop. It's great. We're like a family there. And I think I can say I've had a pretty good life living in O'Hare Valley. I don't think it would be easy to have made it better anywhere else.
It is quite a unique place.
Well, it is. And the hall had its. I was on the hall committee when we had its centenary, and that was great fun. No, it was the 150th. Sorry, I think it was 150th. No, it was the centenary. We had a big celebration, and gave everybody in the valley a golden totara as a that was as a memento, because the valley was covered in totara, and you've probably heard that, haven't you? Yes. So we'd like to see it, even in a small amount, go back to what it was. But I did. A lot of people have asked me why I managed to get a small section here, and apparently the crossroads. All the sections on the crossroads here were supposed to have been a small settlement called Rawsonville. Have you heard that? No, they were going to call it, it was going to be a little town, sort of, not a town. I think they were going to put a shop here, a dairy and those sort of things, but they didn't eventuate. So, They used to take the horse and cart up the hill past here. Not a very big hill, but and yes, it. I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad they planned it, but I'm very pleased they didn't turn it into a little township, because they would have lost its uniqueness, I think, the valley. And we've had our share of, Helen Ritchie lived across the road, and she had a part of, you know, in the valley things. I see she's still in the news.